Hey, everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to keep your sanity in 2020, how to be a founder during these times, how to be a human during these times.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Man, this year is something else. And I'm sure we're not the only, lots of people are going through a lot of things right now. And I felt like, typically we're known for super short, super sharp, very tactical and practical episodes. But these are unusual times, so maybe they call for an unusual Startup Chat episode. I felt like it might make sense for us to just chat. How do we deal with this? How do we think about all the insanity that's going on in the world? Maybe we do have a few things to share with our listeners that are going to be helpful. Or if not, maybe that in and of itself gives some comfort that not even the two of us know how to deal with this.
That's right.
So let me ask you. I mean, we're currently going through... So the first big wave was obviously the global pandemic and COVID. Now we're going through this wave of worldwide demonstrations and riots, peaceful protests kicked off by police brutality. But it's sort of maybe even bigger than just that. There's a lot of different things that are in the mix that are going on right now. How have the last 2-3 weeks been for you? And kind of for your team and your company, has it been different than the first COVID wave of craziness? How do you cope? How do you keep your sanity during all of this right now?
Yeah. So for me, I just feel really lucky. And I think I have at this point, an unlimited number of reasons why. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't even cover them, and I think that's how I deal with this. I just realize where I'm lucky. And make sure that like I don't lose sight of that, regardless of what else is going on for other people, because that's really helpful. I think we might have talked about this a little bit, but I've been really wrapping my head around for myself the difference between luck and gratitude.
Yeah,
and I think we talked about that a little bit, a couple of times at least. And for me, like that's the thing that helps the most is this idea of like just remembering how lucky I am. And if I have to, like reminding other people, whether it's in my family or people around me, when they're feeling sad or feeling kind of the collective sort of situation in whatever ways that they might be feeling it. Because one of the things about this is like, nobody really knows how to feel. Nobody knows how to act. We just don't know. There's a lot of combined things going on, a lot of opinions, a lot of information. I think the biggest risk is information overload. That's what I'm noticing with people around me. In terms of like my companies and teams and stuff, we keep those teams very small. Mm-hmm. That's how we've always operated, regardless of what the sort of goal is. And so that makes it so that there are less challenges on the teams for two reasons. One, they're small. Two, they're in small meaning less than 20 people. And two, they're all remote, right? Just like your team. And so that sort of distributes literally. Mm-hmm. This kind of any world situation or any local situation really distributes it. The thing about what's going on right now that I'm noticing and that I find very unique is that there are protests all over the world now. Mm. All over the world. Over something that started in the US in one city. And that is, and obviously there's a video and everything. I mean, but that is incredible. I don't think I've ever noticed anything like that, where we've taken something that happened to a single country, in a single state, isolated basically, in a single state, and has spread globally, and caused this amount of unrest. Because that's really what this is. This is some kind of unrest. Mm. People are not able to rest, is what I mean. In case someone takes it the wrong way, that's the other thing, right? Like people are going to take things the wrong way right now, just because. And that's okay. Like, just everybody needs to just do their best. I just did that right there. I was like, yeah, that might not be the right word, but that's the word I'm using. Sorry. And I usually don't do that. I don't caveat most things I say because I try to be as balanced as I can. So those are my off the cuff thoughts. I know you're across the world, right? And so I'd love to kind of hear kind of what you're experiencing. And obviously you have a larger team. I think what you folks are like 50 plus people now, right?
Yeah. So it's interesting. I think that I want to go back later to this lucky point a little bit. I just want to understand. I love it so much that I want to understand even better, like how you do it, how you practice that. But I'll tell you,
I've been working on it. So happy to talk about it. It's something that I'm working on. So yes.
So for me, it's interesting. There's a couple of things that I've noticed. One, I've noticed I've never, like, there was a time at the beginning of COVID, I was super glad to be on Twitter. I was like, there's these very specific experts, there's these specific people on the ground in China. They're sharing these facts. There's some arguments, but there's information that I find useful. And although I would invest a lot of time into it, it felt like I'm gaining something from the experience. Yep. And the experience couldn't be more different right now. When I'm on Twitter, I can't be on Twitter for more than like a minute at a time. And then I'm just like, I need to leave this place. This is because it's just too much. And it's a lot of brutality. There's not a lot of negativity. There's a lot of arguing. It's just a different level of charged environment. And I want to go on social media to get a little bit of information on what's going on in the world, but I've never felt.
Can I give my explanation about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it would just lead to some conversation here. Yeah. That's interesting. I have a few different people who talk to me about this that are very empathetic. Mm. And this is my thesis. I think that normally, like, so let's say the COVID situation on Twitter, there were dopamine hits from it. So like your pleasure center and all that, big time. And with the current sort of protests and all the videos and brutality and everything that we're seeing, it's much different. And I think what we're hitting is it's hitting our adrenaline. Because when we watch these things, even when we read about them, we can almost imagine ourselves there.
Yeah.
And I think it produces a flight or fight response. And so you're constantly in this fight or flight response, even if you're not a protester and you're not at the protest and you're watching it and you're watching the brutality and you're watching even people just generally marching peacefully. It just never really seems peaceful. If that makes sense. Not that it isn't, it just has this like energy to it. And so my theory is like most things are a dopamine hit on social media. This is hitting adrenaline and we run out of adrenaline and then we get tired and then cranky and all kinds of angry and all kinds of things. So anyway, please continue. But that was
that makes perfect sense. I've seen a number of people, they're not even that they're not in the US. They're not in the US and they're not in like, they're not a person of color, right? They're not like in the group that's most impacted by this. And then I would notice how they would kind of like social media themselves into a rage and then like be really affected by this in some way that I'm like, this can't be explained with a kind of a direct line from event cause and effect. Right?
Imagine if you're seeing basically people that are your color, right?
Yeah.
And that probably explains a lot of people's messages.
Yeah.
Right. When you think about it as adrenaline, because adrenaline is a beast of a sort of hormone and drug, and you know, if you want to call it drug.
Yeah. It's crazy. And then, so I think that, and unfortunately, again, this is one of those situations where I find there's very little actual conversation. There's very little like exchange of ideas. There's very little trying to understand. I feel like the situation is just very charged up. I think that people have been through a lot over the last couple of months. Just internal stress, anxiety, uncertainty. And this is just hitting a nerve. And so the people lash out in very, you know, very strong ways. In the mix, there's some beauty in there as well. There's like a lot of like important things that are going on, but there's a lot. There's, you know, the rioters within the peaceful protesters and then the police in the mix of everything. And then you see people arguing the side of the, it's like that quote, I don't know who said that, where it's like, You know, somebody will not understand an idea if their salary is dependent on not understanding an idea, right? Or not believing some facts or something. And it's like, some people are like, will take this as, see, you know, nobody ever believed us. Police is corrupt. We need to change the system. And then there's the other side that's like, see, and you people were telling us we shouldn't have guns. Look at all these riots. I need my guns.
And
we need our guns to protect ourselves from police and military. And then there's the other people like, see, and it's like, there's no actual, wow, I'm learning something new, or maybe I should change my mind, or maybe there's an interesting...
There's none of that.
There's none of that. It's just whatever opinions, whatever group you were part of 3 months ago, 6 months ago, you're just now more violently in that group and more righteously in that group and more believing that the other group needs a beating in some way, right? Either physical or metaphysical or just metaphorically speaking. And so that creates a very charged up environment. And it's also interesting that you see people like, just to bring it back to like just founders and startups and all that, like it's so interesting. Some of the postings that I saw early on of people trying to be supportive and writing something, you know, supporting the social cause would get beatdowns, right? In the comments would just be like, here's a picture of you being white, and here's a picture, you know, of your children being white. And then here's a picture of your team of six people, and there's not a person in color there, like just destroying these people. And then some other people would share support, and it'd be like beautiful responses and encouragement. And it's like just a wild west, but a lot of charged emotions. Maybe also a lot of adrenaline. I think that captures it really, really well. And you can only have so much in some sane way. So for me, I don't know, you're actually a pretty insane power user nonetheless. When it comes to Twitter, you got your black belt and all that. I've always been just a blue belt at best, and never been using Twitter as much, been as good as using the medium and engaging with a community on there. But what I find myself is using social media less than ever before. Just like I'm spending very little time on it. Just the amount of good information I get, or the amount of things that I'm like, oh, this makes me smarter. This is something I should know. I'm glad I read this. Just isn't happening right now for me. So it's like, I think recognizing that, because I think that some people don't have that sensitivity, or I maybe am particularly sensitive towards that right now. And I could easily see somebody spending hours and hours and hours just on this, on these Twitter tirades, getting raging themselves up to something that's like, is this really helping if you sit in your living room reading these things for 3-4 hours and then being in a rage? How does that help now? What do you do now? Right? It's very different from wanting to take action or support or trying to make change. It's just like reading, watching these videos one after the other, and then just, you know, getting one adrenaline hit after the other. I don't see how that's going to help anybody do anything better, help anybody else do anything better, and how that's going to help people to be functional. And I've had a couple of friends of mine that are not living in the US, not person of color, they were telling me that this has been more stressful for them than COVID, and that the last 2 weeks they've basically not been able to do anything. Zero productivity. Zero able to get anything done. I'm like, all right, I mean, I get it, but how do you get into a better place one day at a time, one step at a time? I'm like, how is this person some random place in Europe so outraged and so sucked into this that now they've not done any work for 2 weeks? And how is this going to help anybody? So for me, one thing is limiting my social media exposure. That's been one thing. Trying to be on top, like being very selective at a few people that I just go to certain people's timeline, to be honest, versus just my own, because I don't trust Twitter and what they want to put in my timeline. So just go to like a handful of people. I'm like, what are they tweeting? What are they sharing? Let me take a quick look at that, and then I'm out of there. That's one thing that's helping me keep my sanity. Are you spending as much time as you used to? And if so, how do you do that with getting some?
Yeah, for me, it's no, I'm not. I'm spending a lot less time on Twitter than I ever have, like ever. And it's because I don't know what to say. For me, it's more like I don't know what to say. I mean, I can see the stuff, and it impacts me too. So I stopped watching any of those videos or anything that was coming out, you know, for the most part. I think Instagram has been a little more useful in some areas, around this, just because there's some accounts that share like I trust to share videos and things like that, and I feel like, you know, I can consume that and be okay personally. But overall, my consumption's gone down less. My creation of content on there has gone down quite a bit too for the moment. I don't know what to say. And every time I go on there, I don't necessarily see too much of the sort of positivity. Plus, like, I don't think I should, right? If people right. have people have things that they have to say, and they should say them. And, you know, I don't have anything to add to the majority of that conversation at the moment. So I think that's where my head is. That's what I've been doing.
What would we tell, like, I know that we stop kind of any kind of social posting or social posting sharing this week from a company perspective. But I know that a few people, like, I wonder if you were like a founder of an earlier stage startup and I'm trying to do email outreach and calling outreach. I remember a couple of months ago, I would tell people, keep doing that, right? Even with COVID, you can't stop communicating. You have to be thoughtful and mindful. Can't be tone deaf, but you can't just, you know, stop living and breathing. You have to keep trying to sell your service if your service is still valuable today for people. Now, I haven't gotten that question recently, but I wonder if I was a founder now and I was trying to sell, it's even harder now, right? If you email certain people about commerce that are kind of in that rage mode or in that mode where they feel very upset about what's going on in the world, and it's hard to pinpoint, right? Where in the world, because people all over the world are incredibly upset. So you can get very strong negative responses if you're trying to do quote unquote business right now, try to like run your startup and grow it, but you can't also not do anything. So like, what would you advise to somebody that's like wondering, should I be writing blog posts? Should I be still trying to close deals for my new software that I'm trying to get up and running? Or should I just lay low for a week or two and then wait and see before I start re-engaging in the market?
Yeah, typically, my advice on that right now, no one's asked me either, is to wait and see.
Mm.
I think this is a time when, it looks like next week there's going to be some, I mean, we're about two-ish weeks into this, these protests and things, maybe a little bit more. But it looks like next week things seem like they might be getting a little bit normalized, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it. I'm not sure how to look at that, but normalize in the sense of like folks are, there seems to be less violence.
Yeah, but it's interesting. So this is something that I would agree with. And this is the first time in the, you know, 5-6 years that we're doing this podcast that I would ever tell somebody, maybe take it easy this week. Just wait and see, right? Just maybe chill a little bit. And I had to do that internally a couple of times, but yeah, that's interesting. Let's go to the lucky part, because for me, in terms of keeping my sanity, and I think we talked about it before in some of the other episodes that we had this year. It's about trying to be as informed as I can, but understand that if there's something I can do something about, there's no reason to worry about it. If there's something I can't do anything about, there's no reason to worry about it, right? The old Buddhist wisdom. There's certain things in the world that are going on. There's nothing I can do about that. So there's no benefit of me worrying about these things. So trying to ask myself, what can I impact, and let's just focus on that, right? Let's try to do the best I can today, and take one step at a time, and let's see, things are so unpredictable. It doesn't make sense to worry about the future because you just don't know what kind of future will unfold. So you just have to take it one day at a time and just be adaptable. Be like, okay, this is the new reality. Let me adapt it. One thing that I've seen that I would recommend people fight as an instinct, and this is a unique position where I'm at. This is so interesting. We've talked about this before where, you know, I'll talk to my friends in the US and they'll be like, ha, Europe is a shit show. And then I talk to people in Europe and they're like, ha, thank God you're not in the US. The US is a shit show. I'm like, ha, no matter where people are, they feel like, you know, again, we all have these strong biases and beliefs, and that we're just trying to find, maybe in stressful times even more than before, we're trying to find proof that the world works the way we want it to. But that will be the one, like, because I remember the couple of days ago shared a more critical article with a friend of mine in the US about some of the potential future scenarios, politically speaking. And then it was like, oh, this article is bullshit. The jobs numbers are great already and protests are down. And in you know, a month we're going to be saying COVID was overblown and then everything will be forgotten. And I hope he's right. I mean, it's not that I don't want all that to be true, but I was like, this seems like too much of an opinion that existed throughout all this time and never changes no matter what the facts are. This seems too biased of an opinion versus like keeping a little bit of a flexible, open mind of, I hope things are going to get better, but who knows, right? Versus a, I knew everything's going to get better. The jobs numbers are good. Like, it's like, well, just chill. Let's wait and see if things are really going to get better. And so that would be my biggest recommendation, I think, to anybody, but especially founders right now, is like, take a wait and see approach. Don't try to fight your own bias of wanting certain things to be true. Oh, things are fine here in Europe. Things are fine in the US. Oh, things are fine in the this coast, that coast. Oh, things are fine if you're not in the city. Oh, things are fine if you're not whatever. Maybe wait and see. And if there's proof that things are fine, awesome, let's celebrate that. But if there's proof that things aren't fine, let's not be blind to it, but let's adapt, let's react, let's adjust. And I think that this is hard to do. This is very, very, very hard to do. But that's kind of what's on my mind these days. It's just like, just trying to keep a pulse on the reality around me and ask myself, is this something that I can learn? Or is this something I need to adjust or adapt to? Versus trying to find the proof that everything's going to be all right or everything's going to be all right for me in my bubble, in the way I want things to pan out. I think that can make a big difference. Two quick things. One, I don't know if we could get back to that, if it's too much of a leap, but I know that this like grateful versus lucky thing has been a big topic. You said that it's been on your mind. You know, I've also started, like, I start my days with 5 questions usually, and I like, write down the answers.
Yep.
I used to ask, what are you grateful for, or what do you appreciate? And now, you know, since the last time we talked about this, I ask, why am I lucky, or what am I lucky about right now? So I already started playing a little bit with it, and it does do different things. It does give me different answers.
Different, right?
It feels slightly different, yes. There's less of a I earned it component. There's more of a, this has come to me, and I say thank you, but I don't necessarily deserve or earn it. Maybe I do, but that there's no component of that in there. Where with gratitude, maybe there could be. But how during these days, like, how do you practically do this? Do you just ask yourself this question all the time? Why am I lucky? Or do you write it down? Or do you just feel it? Or like, do you meditate on it? How do you practice this right now?
Yeah, for me, I think of it as a reminder. And I've never been able to get gratitude to be a reminder, while luck and feeling lucky feels so much more natural as a reminder. So I feel like I can, it's much, much more approachable. And I feel like I can say it anytime. And for me, it comes up more often than the idea of gratitude. And often meaning like just easier to remember. And it is different. It's different in the sense of sort of has a different effect also, because like you said, it kind of implies that things are out of your control. And right now, majority of things are out of your control. So it kind of lines up with the current atmosphere.
That's dope. Can you give us an example of like the last time today or yesterday where you went through that thought process? Like a situation,
yeah, so,
or something like that?
Yeah, so I think like if you see something on social media where someone's clearly not lucky, you know, or unlucky, whatever way you want to kind of view it, I would say that like that's a great moment to remember how lucky you are for whatever your current situation is. And I think that's really helpful when you watch some of this stuff online, because it can turn off that adrenaline. It cannot make the adrenaline kick in. So that's been actually really powerful for me, because I don't want that adrenaline for watching a video. I really don't. I don't think it's healthy, because, you know, it's just pretty intense and it's not necessary. And so like the adrenaline. Mm-hmm. So that's one sort of really important one. I think even the fact that, you know, both of us have roofs over our heads that are, you know, I'm sure pretty comfortable. That's a pretty big one for me too. So it's just those kind of moments. It's like any moment where I feel discomfort, it's a good thing to remember and helps me feel lucky, you know, just literally, you know, like, oh, how lucky am I? you know, and that does sometimes lead to like, you know, how grateful am I for these things, or how I want to feel gratitude as well. Really though, like it helps me have a very honest viewpoint and balanced viewpoint on sort of what's going on in the world, what's going on in my own life, and just open space for me instead of closes it down. Because it's really easy right now to look at things that are out there and be like, the world is a shitty place. I don't think that's a healthy viewpoint. I think that's a totally okay viewpoint. I would not tell anyone to not feel that. I'm just saying, I don't think it's a healthy viewpoint. So it's better to get out of that view, at least for me, when I'm sort of kind of seeing something or feeling like the opposite of lucky, or feeling like other people are not lucky. Just that memory, that sort of reminder helps me even have a more empathetic viewpoint on other people's lives too. That these days we get to watch, like, in some of the worst parts of their lives.
Yeah. All right. I think if you're listening to this podcast, there's a big chance that there are things in your life that you are lucky, that you can be lucky and grateful around. If anyone that's listening to us right now is currently heavily on the struggle bus of you're trying to do their startup thing and just struggling with it, or having bigger challenges than usual, we'd love to help if we can. This is crazy. These are unusual times. We don't have the answers, but at least we can listen. And if we can find something that could be helpful, we'd be more than happy to help if we can. So get in touch with us if you need somebody to listen to you, if you need help, or just need two people to listen. Stelly@close.com, hnchi@gmail.com. Until next time, stay safe and stay sane. I think both of us, we assume that the craziness that 2020 has to dish out is not fully over yet, although it's hard to believe. So feel like we might be in it for some more rocky ups and downs in this year. So we all need to work really hard to stay sane during all this.
Yep.